Hello, welcome back to the Retro Break podcast. This is part two of my game dev journey series. So if you didn't see or hear part one yet, definitely go back and listen to that one first. Because in this one, I'm going to flesh out some of the things that I mentioned last time before moving on in part three to what I did after uni. So if you didn't listen to part one, or if you just need a bit of a reminder, I actually went to university, Staffordshire University, to study game design, specifically gameplay design and production. But the first year I was there, I was actually doing game programming. So I've kind of got 4 years worth of game dev experience that I want to share in this video, and also to give you guys and girls an idea of what studying game design at university kind of entails and the sort of projects that I worked on while I was there as well. There's a lot to get into. I've got notes of most of the stuff that I did, and thankfully I also backed most of it up on Google Drive as well, so I've actually got some files that I can show you if you're watching here on YouTube. So without further ado, let's get started with year one. So if you remember in the first one of these podcasts, I said that after college I decided to go and study something called portable game programming at uni. And like I said in that first podcast, when I turned up, it turned out that I was the only person who was actually on that course. So instead, I got put onto a game programming course. And unfortunately, my illusion of making a game for the DS or GBA was completely shattered. And the entire first year that I was at uni, I didn't learn a single thing about making anything for portable systems, or indeed making any games at all, really. Basically, we just learnt really basic C programming language script, and we just had to build a pyramid out of hash symbols or program it to make a Christmas tree or to find out how much money added together or something. And I thought the entire thing was just so far removed from what I actually wanted to do. I was getting really frustrated with not understanding the programming, having to do these maths classes that I just couldn't get my head around. So it's not all bad news, though. I kind of don't want to skip over this because it was a big part of my life and a big part of kind of where I am today, because I'm actually doing programming for work now. So some of the stuff that I learned back then is still important. But there was one other thing that isn't really tied to games, but it's tied to what I'm doing right now, actually. And that was a separate course that I took in that first year, all about multimedia production. And through that course, that was how I learned to use things like Adobe Premiere Pro, and how to design graphics and animations and things, and how to use editing software and Audacity and things like that. So stuff that I'm using today still kind of ties back to first year at uni. And I definitely made a lot of friends during first year as well. And I played a lot of games. I watched a lot of anime. I joined an anime club at uni. So it wasn't an entirely wasted year. But in terms of actually learning things that kind of I wanted to learn at the time, probably it wasn't very good for me. So I ended up dropping out at the end of first year, whether that was the right idea or not. Looking back on it, I probably should have stuck with it, because what I'm doing today is a lot more like what I was learning in first year rather than what I learned in the years after. But the interesting thing for this podcast and from my game development journey point of view is when I actually swapped over to my other course in second year, which was gameplay design and production. So this is where it gets really interesting. So this is what I'm counting as second year at uni. And one of the really interesting things that I learned during this first year of my new course was Lua scripting and using a game engine called Emerge, which was actually made by a really talented tutor of mine who actually made his own game engine and his own programming language in order to teach us how game engines and programming actually work together. And we had to come up with a top-down 2D adventure RPG style game, and you had to come up with a story for it, you had to come up with all of the different interactions in the game, and you had to make a game design document, and I absolutely loved it. I used the sprites from one of my favourite games, Illusion of Time, and I took inspiration from things like Zelda and Dragon Quest, and I pieced together this really complex world map and all these different missions that you would go on and different quests that you could take. It was all very simple, but the fact that I could actually program and play my own game for the first time really in 3 years now, because during the 2 years at college before and during the first year of university, I'd never actually made anything playable. So doing this Lua scripting course during uni was my first real experience with actually making something official that I could actually play and I could actually get marked for, so I was really excited about that. Unfortunately, I don't have any of the files to show you for this one, and it is a real shame because I would love to be able to play it again. But that did finally make me feel like I'd finally got somewhere with uni and I was finally on the right track in life as well. And as well as just making something playable, the other thing I really loved about that was making the design document for it. And that was something else that I did a lot in first year. And if you're going on to a gameplay design and production course like I was, you'll expect to be doing this quite a lot. And that is writing big documents based around everything to do with the game, from the marketing behind the game, from the gameplay, from the idea behind the graphics and the narrative of the game. And there was one course in particular that I really enjoyed, and that was called Reverse Engineering Game Design Documents. And I did that for two games. One of the games that I picked was Sonic Adventure 2 Battle, and I basically had to write it from the point of view of Sonic Team creating the game before it was released. So I was kind of saying things like, it's going to be a sequel to Sonic Adventure, these are the changes we're making, this is why based on the feedback, this is the kind of gameplay style we're going down, this is the control system, these are the different levels that are going to be featured in the game, this is how the story ties everything together, these are the things that you collect, all of that kind of stuff. And you realize through writing that the insane amount of things that you have to think about as a game developer and designer. And I absolutely found the entire process absolutely fascinating. And the other game that I did that for was my favorite game of all time, which is Illusion of Time. And thankfully, I do still have both of these documents on my Google Drive. So if you're watching on YouTube, you can have a look at them over the screen right now. I'm still really proud of what I managed to do. I think they're really detailed. And still today, reading back on it, it means that I had a really good understanding of all the many different facets that go into game development. And I just thought the whole thing was fascinating. And I really love reading and writing these design documents. And when I made my own game, Super Donuts, which I will come to in part three of this podcast, I actually wrote my own one for that as well. And even set up my own blog so that I could blog the development as I was going. So as well as writing the game design documents, there was something else really interesting that we did in that first year, and that was an assignment where you had to take an existing game, tweak one gameplay mechanic within the game, and then explain how that one small change would affect the rest of the gameplay and actually change the type of game that it was. So we had to do it with a video game and a board game. I can't remember what the video game I chose was, but the board game was Draft. And I think I changed it to making it so that you're able to jump forward two squares as well as just moving from side to side. And I had to explain how that would change the competition element of the game, how that would make it easier or harder, and why such a small little change would make such a big difference. And I thought that was a really interesting thought, and it made me think just how much time and effort goes into really crafting a perfect gameplay mechanic, and the fact that even if you change it very slightly, it will actually affect a big part of the experience. And talking about board games as well, something else that we did in first year that I really enjoyed was designing our own board game. So we were given the task of taking a video game and transferring that into a board game format. And the video game that we were told to use was an Amiga game called Alien Breed, I believe. And we ended up coming up with a board game slash card game for that. And we actually printed our own cards and we made our own board out of paper. And you'd have to move around this grid and aliens would come out the vents. And I can't exactly remember how it worked at the time, but I remember really enjoying the process of creating this board game, sitting down with friends and actually figuring out how it worked together with them and coming up with a really good idea for a game as well. And it kind of got me thinking that not everything has to be digital either. Like, making a board game is still really interesting. Although I prefer playing games on my own rather than other people, so that's one of the reasons I prefer digital video games over board games, but I do see the appeal. And as well as all these design documents and coming up with ideas and tweaking mechanics and things, the other thing we had to look at was how game companies actually run. And the game company that I focused on for this assignment was Way Forward, which are one of my favourite game developers. So what we had to do for that one was to take a look at a game, look at the list of names in the credits and all of the different roles that they were assigned to, and then using those roles and the different names and the amount of people, kind of understand how a team is formed and how it functions and how everyone has their small role to play in the bigger job of actually creating these games. And I thought that was a really fantastic and fascinating look into how the game industry actually actually functions as a whole. And then moving on to the next year, this is when I first really got my experience with proper game engines. So in this year, we learned how to use things like Unity and the Unreal Engine. And I was a bit out of my depth, if I'm completely honest, and I still don't fully understand how to use either of these. But it was really interesting to get a look into what's actually used out there to make the games that I was actually playing at the time. So in one of the semesters, there was a class called Experimental Games. And during that, we were teamed up with one other person, and together we would have to create these experimental little game demos in Unity. And I made quite a few of them with a friend back then. So we made a fighting game demo using the theme of Chinese. So we had Chinese writing in the background. And honestly, it was really terrible. And I still had no idea how to program properly, but we managed to get something working at least. We also made a firefighting style game, which again, didn't really function outside of just the basic moving around, but it was the idea that counted, and I always loved coming up with the ideas, and then I would always really struggle putting the ideas into practice. And what else do they make? There was a tilting board game that we had to make in Unity, and I think that one actually came out quite well. Unfortunately, I don't have any of the playable files anymore, but thankfully I do actually have the video files which we used to submit the assignments. So at least if you're watching on YouTube, I can show those over the screen now. So the tilting board one, I definitely had a lot of fun making. Of course, I'm a huge fan of the Super Monkey Ball games. If you haven't seen my Monkey Ball series retrospective, you'll know that I'm a crazy fan of that. So of course, when I got the chance to try and make my own tilting board game, rolling a ball around a maze, I jumped at the opportunity. And I think I actually came up with a really interesting concept based on the sort of, how would you call it? There was a kind of template that we used within Unity, and then within that you could kind of add to it. And that really helped, because I wasn't actually programming it from scratch. There was actually something for me to work off. And I got to the point of being able to build extra levels, being able to drop the character in at different points, and you could collect different keys which could open up different entrances and exits within the stage. And there was even a stage where you controlled multiple balls at the same time. So I loved the idea of building off a template rather than starting completely from scratch. And I actually really enjoyed that one. Another Unity game that I had to build around that time, and unfortunately I've got no footage of this one at all, but this one was kind of inspired by Boom Blocks, which was a Wii game that had came out a few years earlier. It was basically a first-person game where you started on a podium and you had to shoot different coloured blocks and they would fall down and you get a certain amount of points, and then you'd go through this maze and you could throw bombs and explode lots of blocks to get more points. So it was a really basic game, but I was actually quite proud of it. But unfortunately, that one seems to be lost to time because it wasn't on any of the hard drives that I've got here, and it wasn't anywhere on Google Drive either. I do have a few screenshots from it though, so at least I can show you those. And while I was looking for stuff from uni, I actually found one other project, and I don't think this one was actually based on anything that uni told me to make. This was more one that I was trying to make for fun. And if you're watching on YouTube, my Mega Man t-shirt, you'll know I'm a huge Mega Man fan, and I actually wanted to try and recreate Mega Man Battle Network in Unity. So I didn't get very far with it. I got as far as making some of the cards and being able to move around the grid, which was kind of the net navigator thing in Mega Man Battle Network. I can't remember exactly what it's called, but you're moving around the sort of cyberspace and you can move across these different grids. And it was kind of like Mario Party. You'd land on one and then it would jump into a battle scene, and then you could select from a row of cards at the bottom. It didn't really get any further than just that proof of concept, but I did find some screenshots and I was really excited to find them because I'd actually forgot all about that. So just seeing that brought back loads of good memories, but it also brought back kind of PTSD from using Unity, because I really didn't enjoy using Unity. I enjoyed coming up with the ideas, I enjoyed it when it worked, but Unity was just way too complicated for me at the time, and I still think it's kind of complicated. And when I move on to what I'm doing now in part 3, or maybe even part 4, I'll talk about some of the other game engines that I've tried using since then. And there was one other thing. It was a game jam. So like I mentioned in the last episode, when I did a game jam for, I think it was called Spirited, the one I mentioned last time, I did actually do one before that with another group of people, and that one was called Eye for an Eye. But in that one, I didn't actually get involved with using the Unity engine. I was actually just the game designer for that one, not the actual programmer or the level editor or anything. So I came up with the concept of the game, and I think the theme for the game jam that year was blind or limited sight or something. So I came up with this idea where you could actually jump between different things in the room and then you would see through those instead, because the main character was blind, so he was kind of transmitting his sight to these different things. The eventual game ended up being kind of different to that, but it was still an interesting concept. You'd basically be looking around this room for a little sparkly light, and then you could sort of fly over to it and sort of inhabit that light and then look around from its point of view instead. And the scale of objects within the world would change depending on the size of the thing that you actually flew over to, and you just have to find your way out of this house and then escape the like building that you were in or something. It was really interesting. It was a really unique concept, and I loved doing game jams, and I'd love to do more in the future. Outside of just making games, though, there were some other really interesting things that I learned at uni. One of them that's actually helped me out a lot since then as well was a course called Narratology, and during that we learned a lot about script writing, about how to structure stories. There was a really interesting book called Joseph Campbell's Hero's Journey. It's basically the classic story of an adventurer goes out on a quest, overcomes challenges, and then the conflict happens, and then there's a resolution, and there's a twist ending as well. And that sort of journey can be expressed through loads of different stories. And I've actually kind of tried integrating that into some of my YouTube videos as well. So at least that was something that I've carried on from uni that I still do today. Even if I don't really make games for a living anymore, it still came in useful. I also really loved doing things like film analysis and really understanding the motivations behind characters and things like that. And that tied into my final year project that I mentioned in the last episode, which I'm not going to try and do the title again because you know how long and convoluted that was. But I loved analysing films like The Butterfly Effect and understanding how the timeline pieced together. We also had to do another thing, which was a choose your own adventure thing. So first thing was we had to pick an existing choose your own adventure book and then actually script it all out. So you'd have the choice, and then you would have sort of a branching diagram with both the different outcomes, and you could actually piece together this huge mind map of possibilities. And I did mine on, I think it was one of the Doctor Who Choose Your Own Adventure books from the time, and I really enjoyed doing that. And then for the assignment for that, you actually had to make your own Choose Your Own Adventure. And I did one called Endless Snow, and that is actually still available to play online. You can find it on my itch.io page, so check the link in the description for this podcast if you want to check it out. It takes about 10 minutes to read, and you get a different amount of points depending on what ending you get in it as well. And I think it still plays really well, and it was a really interesting story that I loved to put together. I did really enjoy writing, as you can probably tell. So writing a story, an interactive story at that, is something that I really enjoyed. So definitely go and check out Endless Snow after this if you want to play and read something kind of unique and something that I made that I'm actually quite proud of. And then going into the final year, I kind of already touched on these two things. There was the other group project, which I mentioned before, called Plunderbus, where I was the lead game designer and I had to work with a whole team of other people to come up with this really cool 2.5D side-scrolling platforming action game that was set in space. And you played as a space pirate and you'd go around just completing different levels. We didn't really get much further than that, but what we did manage to do was really cool. Unfortunately, like a lot of these other projects, I haven't got anything playable still, but I do have the trailer that I made at the time, and I was still really proud of that. And since last week's episode, I actually found a few more written documents that I'd made from there as well, including some level plans that I'd actually drawn out on graph paper, which I really enjoyed making. I loved coming up with level designs and level plans. That was definitely one of my favourite things about it. And talking about designing level plans and stuff as well, there was one other assignment that I forgot from the year before, where you had to make a Lego game and you had to make it all to scale. So I bought so much graph paper that my entire desk back in my uni flat at the time was just completely full of this graph paper for weeks and weeks on end, and I really enjoyed that. It was all to scale, and I'd colored in all the different squares, and you even had to work out, like, if your character was dashing, he would move this amount of pixels across and he could jump this high, and you had to plan all the level out. Unfortunately, it didn't get around to becoming anything playable, but I really enjoyed putting it all together, and I think I got a good mark for that at the end of it. I definitely put a lot of time into it anyway, and I really do love plotting out levels and coming up with level plans and level ideas and seeing whether they'll actually flow smoothly when the game actually comes to being played. So that was something that I really enjoyed doing, and it's something that I put a lot of time into with my own game, which I'll talk about in part three, which was Super Donuts. And then the final thing at uni and my final year project was, of course, Quantum Shift, which I mentioned in the last video, along with my insanely huge final year project essay as well. So I won't cover all that again. Go back and listen to last week's if you want to hear all about Quantum Shift. So that was all the stuff that I actually did at uni, but there is so much more to it than that. For one thing, it was the first time that I properly lived away from home, and I really enjoyed having my own freedom, having the time to work on projects in the evening without having to worry about any other commitments in life, unlike today. And I still think that my 4 years at uni were some of the best years of my life. In fact, I think they were the best years. I made loads of friends, loads of people who shared the same interests as me, because we were all on a game design course together, so we all loved playing games. I had a CRT in the living room, and I would sit there and play my retro consoles, and some of my housemates would come and watch, and we'd play Mario Party together at night and stuff, and they were just such good times. And looking back now, I really should have cherished them more than I did, because I honestly had a great time. I met my girlfriend, who I'm still living with today, 10 years later. So apart from making games, there was a lot of really big things that happened in life around that time as well that I really hold very dear to my heart. And if it wasn't for me going away to study game design, none of that would have happened, and I wouldn't have had those 4 years of good memories. Instead, I probably would have just been in my office job 4 years earlier. So I might have been a bit richer, a bit more well off that way, but I definitely wouldn't have had as good of a time, and I wouldn't have built up all of these really interesting concepts that I learned at uni that I've actually put forward in life going forward, not just in making games, but in life in general. So was it worth going to uni to study game design for 4 years? Was it worth building up a huge amount of student loan debt to pay off in the future? Absolutely yes. I loved every minute of it. Even the bits that I complained about, I still loved it. And I really do miss it today. I miss going to the lectures. I miss learning new things. I miss having my own projects to work on. That's one of the reasons why I love making things and setting these deadlines, is just because I love working on things for the sake of it and understanding and researching new ideas and new techniques that I can put into future projects and trying to better myself day by day. That's still things that I started doing at uni that I still do to this day, and they really do mean a lot to me. And hopefully I can continue living like this and improving myself day by day, meeting new people, creating new things, getting stuff out there now online. That's not really something I did back then. I did a little bit. I still had my YouTube channel, but it was nowhere near what it is today, and I didn't really put that much time or effort into it. But I just love sharing things and hearing people's appreciation of what I'm doing out there. It really does mean a lot to me, and I really did love my time at uni. So I think that's it for this episode. I'm going to end this episode here because, as you can probably hear, my throat is still a bit sore and my nose is still a bit blocked. I've actually been ill all week, so that's why there wasn't a new video up on the main channel. But I'm really glad that I'm feeling well enough at least to do these podcasts, because I'm really enjoying doing them. And I've had so many incredible responses to the podcast as well. I've had 2 5-star reviews on iTunes so far, and you guys have been so good to me. So thank you so much. I really am glad that you're enjoying these. Please leave a review on whatever platform you're listening to these podcasts on. Give it a like, give it a thumbs up, whatever you need to do. I'm loving making these more personal episodes where I can share my stories with you guys and girls. So that's it for now. Stay tuned for part 3 next week, where I'll be talking about the games that I made after uni. I really hope this was interesting to you. So thanks again, and I'll see you all next week for the next episode. Goodbye.